Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Man, good stuff. Brett, I need to prophesy over you this morning. I just really sense that in my spirit. Before I kick off, I just need to prophesy over Brett. I really feel that God's going to move in a whole new way for you. And, you know, he's beginning by the old things become new again. So you're playing a lot of some older stuff in that, you know, and the old things become new again, and God's bringing some life into that. And that's awesome, and we're loving it. But, you know, God's going to bring some newness into your life and prophetic voice out through the songs. And so I hear the word prophesy through your music. And I really sense that God's going to drop in your spirit and into your mind words of revelation, not just words that fit well together, but words of revelation, words that are going to mean something in this place, in this season, for a time such as this. God's made you for a time such as this to bring a revelation to the church, a prophetic voice through song and through music. Don't be surprised if he wakes you up in the middle of the night and you hear him knocking on the door. Wake up, Brett. These are the words I wish you to speak. And those are the words that will come out through your songs, and they'll be powerful. And then he'll give you tunes and melodies. And the words and the melodies will fit together, and you'll go, where did that come from? It'll be like you'll write a song in 3 minutes, and it'll be a song that goes for 10. And you'll go, what? How can this be? And God will give you the words and the choruses and the melodies and the middle eights, and the whole thing will just fit together. And God's going to give you a whole new voice, a whole new way of singing, a whole new way of thinking about the Word of God. Father, I just prophesy that into Brett's life right now in the name of Jesus. We declare a new song, a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous and mighty things. And Father, we declare this word over Brett that he would bring such an anointing voice of the prophetic voice through the music and the song. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. There's an anointing of God this morning. Man, if you don't feel it, you must be dead. I tell you, there's something happening this morning. I really, really felt it right from word go this morning. I felt it right from the thing. I was in prayer meeting on my own, and I'm thinking, man, I'm looking around and it's an empty room, and I'm going, man, it's all good. They that are with me are that are greater than those against me. Amen. That's the word that came. Those that stand with us are greater than those that are against us. Amen. We have a Father in heaven. A Father in heaven. He's not just some guy sitting up on the throne with grey hair and a big beard and all cranky and grumpy. He's not like me early in mornings. Many years ago, when the kids were very young, you know how kids climb into bed with you. Well, the kids climbed into bed with me. I won't tell you which one, but anyway, the kids climbed in bed and I could felt this warm thing going down my side of my leg. We all know. Yeah? You know, you're a parent, you know. I got out of bed, I was fuming. I'm drenched in, you know what? Drenched in it. And I'm so cranky. I'm going off my tree. Rah! It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You would too. And I'm going, rah! And Diane says, oh, you're just such a Mr. C. I'm making the bed and I'm thinking, C. I'm hoping she's not saying what I'm thinking she's saying. But I said, what does C stand for? She says, grumpy. I think grumpy doesn't start with C. How true is it? But we're mums and dads. We do that stuff. We do. We do. We lose the plot with the kids. We think, oh, my God, if you fight one more minute, I'm going to stop the car and kill you myself. Man, you know, I feel for the Kowalskis because you got three. Glory to God. Got to try and find one in the middle who's neutral. Good luck with that. I'd need a car with nine seats so I could separate them. I know exactly what. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You're only doing a 10-hour drive. You've been gone for 20 minutes. Are we there yet? Yeah, we've all been there, eh? Let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our Father and that you love us with an abundance of love and care and mercy. Lord, then we just thank you. We take you as our Father and we thank you for adopting us as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers and happy Father's Day to me. And it's just such a great day, such a great day. I count those who that got breakfast in bed this morning can doubly blessed. And it's all good. It's all good. Oh, and I'm not talking about budgeting. I've already done that. It's great. It's a real honour to be able to get the opportunity to come up, get up and give something practical. So, you know, in the giving, I was able to give you something practical, something you can put bones on, you know. I like that. You know, things where the rubber meets the road, you know. I like that. You know, I can give you a fish and you'll eat for a day, but if I teach you to fish, you'll feed yourself for a lifetime. And so they're really practical things, and I like those things. But I also love the spiritual aspect of what God does in spiritual ways that we don't always quite understand where God's matching all of that up. And then later on you go, wow, that's amazing that God knows what he's doing. This morning, of course, I want to talk about God's Father heart, the Father heart of God. And, you know, not all of us had fantastic fathers. Some of us had brilliant fathers, and God bless you if you did. But for most of us, we had dads that just did what they knew. They did the best they could with what they knew and the baggage and the person that they were as well. So, you know, I've done the best I could do. Some days I was cranky. Some days I was grumpy. Some days I was aloof. You know how it is. You know, some days Joey would want to come and play football and I thought, oh my goodness, the last thing I want to do is go and play a game of football. But sometimes you just go and play a game of football. But, you know, God is not quite like our natural fathers, and unfortunately we tend to put our natural viewpoint onto God. And so we'll see him often as we see our natural family, and he's just not like that. He is ever merciful. He is ever gracious. He is ever willing to receive us back into his family. He is an amazing Father. And I would hope to be a father like that. I ascribe to do that. That's not the right word, but I would like to do that. That would be awesome. If you've got your Bibles, open up with me into Luke 15. And before I start there, I just want to, 1 John 3:1-2, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it doesn't know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I just think that's an amazing thing that God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, decided to say, I will accept you as my son and daughter. And in receiving that sonship or daughtership, we receive such great blessings, such great, amazing blessings. And most of the blessings that come from God are through wisdom. God grants us great wisdom in how to deal with this world and how it throw stuff at you. You know, stuff happens, eh? This week has been a shocker, an absolute shocker for me. On Monday, half the systems at work fell over and I was run off my feet. On Tuesday, my offsider decided he wouldn't be at work. And, of course, another system fell over and I was again run off my feet. So the whole week I've been just run off my feet. Plus we're moving. So we're moving as well. And then Joey tells me that he lost one of his jobs and that wasn't so good. And I was pretty cranky about that. And Kiralee's car then, we were at a prayer meeting. We were at a prayer meeting on Thursday night and I get a phone call from Kiralee and my phone's ringing, so I know there's a problem. Oh, none of the dads got that, but it's true. They normally call mum. So if they're calling me, it's serious. So I answered the phone. Of course, her car had broken down. So stuff gets thrown at you. And then yesterday, of course, we did our garage sale. We needed to get rid of all of the big furniture that we can't take into the new house when it gets built. But it was just amazing. I just saw the favor of God. I gave away some things, really, but that's okay, do you know? But everything went. And it was amazing. People came from left, right, and center. And at first, when it first began, we were thinking, oh, this is going to be good. We're going to be stuck with all this great big furniture that we can't move. Who's ever tried to move big bits of furniture? It's not easy. We had people just, people up the back rolling their eyes, yeah, oh God. It's like that. But it just all went. The favor of God. So the thing is with God is that we've always got to stay in faith. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. It doesn't matter what the world's throwing at us. It doesn't matter what stuff is happening. God is our Father and He will look after us. And yes, I'm going into a tent. And everyone that I say that to looks at me like I've got two heads and I may have. But, you know, often it's a short-term discomfort for a long-term gain. And that's how we build in the kingdom. We do we build. And sometimes you've got to do some sacrifices. And God did the ultimate one, giving His Son. But you've got to make some sacrifices to make some gains. And that's just life. That's how it works. And so this morning I'm going to talk about the Father's heart of God. So here in Luke chapter 15... I want to talk about the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, parable, of course, just is another word for story. So it's the story of the prodigal son or the wayward son. And so in verse 11, we'll take it up. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I just want to stop there just for a second. If my kids come to me and say to me tomorrow, Dad, I'd like my inheritance tomorrow. Probably not. But this guy is a different kind of father. He has prepared, he is a wise man. He is prepared not just for his children, but for his grandkids. He's got enough. And so he separates to them his livelihood, his income, his assets. Catch that? All right. So he didn't leave himself penniless, but he gave his assets to the children. I find that amazing. And he did that to both his sons. He didn't just give it to the younger one. He gave it to both of them. So they both received an inheritance at this point in time. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wild living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. Anyone ever notice that? You spend all your money for the week, and the bill comes. I call that Murphy's Law. It does tend to be the case. Do you know O'Toole's law? O'Toole says that Murphy was an optimist. And it tends to happen like that. When you have least is when all those bills will come in. And so this is what happened to the prodigal son. He's got nothing. He's in debt up to his eyeballs. He's got five credit cards. They're all maxed out. He's now got nothing left because he's bought no assets. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. So once he'd done that, then he went and he joined himself. So he did what the rest of us would say, go and get a job. Go and get a job. That's what I'd say to my son if he came and said to me, Dad, I've spent all my money, I've got nothing. That's fine. If he says, give me a tip, I'll say, be good to your mother and work hard. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs, to feed the swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods and the wine the swine ate, but no one gave him anything because he was in the debt up to his eyeballs. Not good. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Wow, that's repentance, isn't it? That's repentance. That's really repentance. And that's what it takes, repentance. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. I want you to capture that just for a second, just for a second. What did the father do? The son's come thinking that he's nothing. I'm a failure. I've lost all my money. I completely gambled it away. It's gone. I'm dressed in rags. I'm worthless. And the father thinks to himself, this is my son. My son doesn't walk around in rags. He goes and gets the best gown he can find, puts it on him. He puts a ring on his finger, which denotes royalty, which denotes that he's part of the family. This is somebody with authority. So he comes humbly before his father with nothing. And his father bestows back upon him his identity, who he truly was. He was a son of the house. Wasn't a servant, he was a son. And sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget who we are. Who are we? We are sons and daughters of the living God. That's powerful. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Don't forget who you are. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you're in rags, you're in debt, and you're in this, and you're in that. Rubbish. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. Remember who you are, what your identity is in reality. The world can say what it likes. It doesn't know us. It doesn't know him. How can it know us? But one day we will be revealed as sons and daughters of God, and the world will tremble. Romans, that's what it says. The world and the creation will tremble when we are revealed truly, fully as sons and daughters of the living God. Put your robes back on in your mind. Just put your robe back on. Remember who you are. You're not in rags. You're not destitute. You have the riches of heaven at your very disposal. You might need to do some things. That's okay. We do the possible. God does the impossible. That's a very powerful scripture. You should highlight that in your Bible. And just remember, this is who I am. I am a son of the house. Then he brought a fatted calf. Oh, sorry. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field. And as he came in and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on here? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound. Oh, sorry. He said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore he came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, look, these many years I've served you. I've never transgressed. I've done your commandments all the time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. We can be a bit like that. You know, when we see somebody come to Christ and we see the joy in their hearts and we're thinking, man, I don't get that joy these days. You know, I don't get that. God doesn't seem to be, he's sort of almost ignoring me sometimes. You know, and I've done all the right things. I've served him all my life. I don't seem to get those blessings. What's he doing? Yet this dude walks through the doors and God just blesses him out of his socks. What's going on with that? We all do it. It's all happened. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you highlight this in your Bible as well. He said to him, son, you're always with me. Wow, you're always with me. And all that I have is yours. This son forgot who he was too. All I have is yours. You could have gone and killed your own fatted calf and made it. But it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. And was lost and is found. Man, when somebody comes to Christ, I tell you what, I'm dancing on the inside. Woohoo! Yes! It's an exciting time. When somebody finds Jesus, finds God, finds their Father in heaven and realizes who they are. Yes! It's a win! We're going to see a revival, church. And we're going to see people, many, many, many people get saved. Many people are going to walk in the door and they're going to say, I don't even know who God is. Who is God? Is he something like Buddha? Is he something like Muhammad? Is he something like Confucius? And we'll say, no, he's God. All of those are dead. But this is God. He's alive. Jesus lives. The creator of the heaven and the earth becomes our Father and we receive Jesus. It changes everything. Changes everything. It's just such an amazing parable, such an amazing story. And there's just so many life lessons that we can take from this story. One of the things that you've got to take from the story is that both the sons thought that their value was in what they did. See, I've worked for you all these years, yeah? The other son was, well, I've stuffed up, So they thought their value to their father was in what they were doing, what they did, their performance. We haven't met that KPI. Cross. Didn't meet that KPI. What's that called? A key personal indicator or something? Oh, key performance indicator. Thank you. That's it. Key performance indicator. Haven't met that KPI. Cross. Oh, you got that one. Tick. And we see God a bit like that. He's doing ticks and crosses. He doesn't do ticks and crosses. When your child is learning to walk and they're crawling on the ground, you're going, yay! And they stand up and they take a step and they fall over and you're going, yes! Don't you? And they get up and they take two steps and they fall over and you go, yes! That's awesome! But they get into their older days and they fall over and we go, oh, you shouldn't have fallen over, you know. It's natural to make mistakes. It's natural to fall over. And the Father knows that. He knows it. It's not about your performance. You can't work your way into His good graces. You're already in them. You can't get any more favor because you've got it all. You don't have to work your way into heaven. You don't have to go and feed all the hungry and all the poor. Although that would be nice. You don't have to do that. You don't have to read your Bible. It'd be nice if you did. You don't have to pray. It would be nice if you did. You see? It's not the way we think. God loves you exactly the way you are. You don't have to know from Genesis to Revelation to be spiritual. You just need to have a relationship with our Father in heaven. That's all it takes. I am blessed when my children just come and spend a little time with me. That blesses me. It's a good thing. And God's the same. He's not about ticks and crosses. It's not about your performance. He's not interested in how well you perform. He's more interested in that you're having a go and that His heart for you is that you would have the best life you can have. You think that about your own children. I don't mind what they do. I don't mind who they marry. As long as they have a great life. As long as they're blessed. As long as they have a good life. As long as they are happy. Amen? We're all the same. We, as fathers, we feel that way to our kids. We just love them. We don't mind that they make a mistake and they fall over. We'll be there for them. We'll just be there for them. Yeah? There's always a roof over their head at my house. But what we take, one of the main lessons we take from this is that the son came back in repentance. Well, there'll be a tent over their head for a few months. They're more than happy to share my tent. So, you know, repentance makes us humble enough to receive from God. Sometimes we do need to acknowledge that we've made a mistake. That's important. You can't go delusionally, oh, well, I'm making all these mistakes and you're leaving a wake of devastation in your life behind you and pretend that it's not happening. Of course, repentance is important. We need to repent of our mistakes so that we can come to God and say, look, I've mucked up. Can you help me to get out of this? And He will. He will. Without doubt, He will. Repentance is important. Two, know who you are. Know your identity as a son and a daughter of the Father. Three, God doesn't measure your performance. Four, it's easy to look at others through the lens of what you are doing. We've got to be careful of judging others and judging what the Father may or may not be doing in somebody else's life. Because we don't see the big picture. People make judgments all the time. When you first meet somebody, within the first 4 to 10 seconds, they will judge everything that they think about you. Most of it will be wrong. The reason for that is that the brain categorizes people by the way they look, and it basically, you have the feelings associated with a certain person who looks with that sort of thing. So that's how we judge. That's how it works. And so most of our judgment is wrong, because God doesn't judge by what looks good. God judges by what's in the heart. So God looks into your heart and he goes, man, I can see you're trying to do the right thing here. No one else might see it, but I can see you're trying to do the right thing here. And he'll bless you for that, because that's the way he looks at things. But we can't judge others, and we can't judge, you know, what's happening in other people's lives. Man, yes, people make mistakes. We'll be there for them. We'll encourage them. We'll try and give them great advice if we can. But sometimes you've got to let people go and learn for themselves. Joey may be moving out in January, and he will learn some interesting lessons in life. My Kira Lee has moved out already, and she's already learning some wonderful life lessons. And that's how it is. We learn by doing. And God is gracious enough to allow us to do. Make mistakes, that's all good. Don't be concerned about making mistakes. Don't be concerned about failure. Don't be concerned about risk. You've got to take risk in order to gain. That's just life. You've got to risk something to gain something. That's just the way this world is set up. And God knows that because he set it up that way. Because it requires a step of faith. So where you see risk, I see an opportunity for faith. That's an opportunity for me. Faith. That's a step of faith. Now, if you step out and you fall on your face, get up, dust yourself off, go again. Take another step of faith. Don't pull back. Keep moving forward. That's the way of the kingdom. It's a forward-moving kingdom. Okay, we'll just finish here. So just in concluding, repentance is important. We do need to repent from our mistakes, and we need to come before God and say, look, I've mucked up here. I've messed this up. I need to fix this. And there are repercussions to our mistakes. We all know that. That's just the way it works. But we can work through those things, and God will help us work through them. Amen? And he is always gracious. He will always receive you back. There is no sin that you can do that will make God love you any less. God loves us with a passion, and he wants the best for his kids. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are our Father in heaven, that you have given us our true identity, which is your son and your daughter, that we might ask of you anything in Jesus' name, and it will be done, because we are your sons and your daughters. Father, we declare blessing over this church and over this house. Father, we declare blessing, Father, over the Central Coast. Father, we pray a blessing over this nation, the great Southland of Australia. We pray, Father, that there would be a revival that would begin, that there would be fire birthed in the hearts of men and women on the Central Coast. Father, we just thank you, Father, that there would be a renewal of your spirit across the Central Coast. Father, we pray for new souls, that them that are lost, your sons and your daughters that are lost, those who once walked with you and now no longer do, we call them back. We ask, Lord God, that you'd move by your spirit to heal their wounds, to restore them, to set them back on their feet, that they might come back into your fold, into your household, into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have a fantastic Father's Day. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.